Welcome to HN Pod, your daily audio dive into the top trending stories from Hacker News. I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. It is great to be here with you all for episode 412. Today we are looking back at the biggest stories from yesterday, May 30th, 2026. We have a really fascinating lineup today that touches on some major shifts in the industry. We are going to talk about Microsoft quietly degrading offline products, Anthropic hitting a massive milestone to overtake OpenAI, OpenRouter raising a huge Series B, a philosophical look at why domain expertise is the ultimate moat in the age of AI, and finally a fun one for all the document formatting nerds out there, a spotlight on Pandoc templates.
Let us dive right into that first story. It hit over 600 points on Hacker News and generated a lot of heat. The title is Microsoft Degrades Functionality of Perpetually Licensed Offline Products. This links to a wiki page detailing how Microsoft Office 2019 and 2021 for Mac are going to be remotely degraded on July 13th, 2026.
Right, and the mechanism here is wild. Basically, Microsoft uses a digital certificate to validate licensing for these apps. That certificate expires on July 13th. For users on the newer subscription models, or those who can update to the latest builds, the renewed certificate is already included. But if you bought the standalone perpetual license for Office 2019, you are hard-capped below the required build. So when that certificate expires, your software just drops into what Microsoft calls reduced functionality mode. You can view files, but you cannot edit or save them.
Which effectively bricks the software for its primary purpose. But what really got the Hacker News community fired up is the history of how Microsoft communicated this. Back in October 2023, when Office 2019 reached end of support, Microsoft had a page up explicitly assuring customers that their apps would, quote, continue to function. They said the apps would not disappear and you would not lose data, just that you might face security risks.
And then the internet sleuths noticed that by May of 2026, Microsoft had quietly rewritten and redated that exact same support page. They completely scrubbed the continue to function clause and instead added a line pointing users to buy a supported Microsoft 365 product. The comments on this thread were absolutely brutal. A user named JMWard01 had the top comment, basically saying we need to stop arguing about whether this is legal because their lawyers will always win and just get mad and stop buying their software.
Yeah, JMWard01 compared it to what's happening with cars right now, where if you try to disconnect the modem to stop them from harvesting your real-time data, they disable core car functionality that does not even need the internet. It's this broader trend of companies shifting from providing value to extracting it. Another user pointed out how this destroys the goodwill Microsoft built up over the last few years with things like VS Code and the Windows subsystem for Linux. They feel like it's just a return to the classic embrace, extend, and extinguish playbook, but this time applied to the wallets of their own users.
It also sparked a big conversation about the Stop Killing Games movement. Someone in the comments brought up how Ubisoft recently bricked the game The Crew when they shut down the servers, which actually triggered new legislation in California and a citizens initiative in Europe. People are hoping that same energy can be applied to Stop Killing software in general. If you bought a perpetual license, a remote kill switch via an expiring certificate feels like a massive breach of trust.
Exactly. And of course, being Hacker News, half the thread was people smugly asking why everyone did not just switch to LibreOffice 15 years ago. But as others pointed out, in a corporate environment, you do not always have that choice.
Speaking of corporate environments in massive tech shifts, let us move to our second story. Anthropic surpasses OpenAI to become the most valuable AI startup. This was a huge piece of news. Anthropic just raised $65 billion in a Series H funding round, which pushes their market valuation to right around the $1 trillion mark.
$1 trillion. It is just staggering to say out loud. This officially makes them the largest AI company among Silicon Valley private startups, overtaking OpenAI, which was valued at $852 billion back in March. The article notes that this growth is largely driven by the massive popularity of the Claude AI assistant, and specifically the Claude code service among software developers. They also just introduced Claude Opus 4.8.
The discussion on Hacker News for this one was really nuanced. Instead of just cheering for one team or the other, developers were having a deep debate about how we actually interact with these models now. A user named AmazingAmazing had this great comment where they talked about running a blind test for the colleague. They took some pull requests generated by OpenAI's GPT 5.5 and Anthropic's Opus 4.8 and asked the colleague to identify which model wrote which code. The colleague could not tell.
The commenter said it is basically the Pepsi challenge for AI, and for 99% of people, it's just vibes all the way down.
I loved that Pepsi challenge comparison. But another user, Vunderbaugh, pushed back a bit. They pointed out that for a developer using an LLM daily, the experience is about way more than just the final code output. It's about the user experience. How often do you have to manually steer the model? How much detail do you have to provide up front? How well does it handle external tooling and web searches? Claude has been winning a lot of developers over, not necessarily because the raw intelligence is vastly superior to GPT 5.5, but because the integration, particularly with tools like VS Code, just feels smoother right now.
Yeah, the consensus seems to be that for standard stuff, like spinning up a React app with a CRUD backend, all the top-tier models are incredible. But when you drop them into complex, non-public code bases where they can't just regurgitate GitHub open source patterns, they all still struggle. You still need a human to review the logic because the models will happily invent a totally unnecessary workaround and present it with absolute confidence.
Which is a perfect segue into our third story, because developers are getting tired of betting on just one model. The third story is OpenRouter raises $113 million in a Series B. For those who might not know, OpenRouter is a unified API and gateway that sits between developers and all these different AI model providers.
Right, and their growth has been explosive. They went from processing 5 trillion tokens a week to 25 trillion tokens a week in just the last 6 months. What's really interesting about this funding round is who invested. It's not just traditional VC firms. It's Capital G, which is Alphabet's growth fund, plus the venture arms of NVIDIA, ServiceNow, MongoDB, Snowflake, and Databricks. These are the heavy-hitting enterprise infrastructure companies.
Simon Willison chimed in on this thread, and his perspective is always worth reading. He admitted that originally, he did not understand why anyone would want to put a proxy between themselves and an LLM, but he outlined exactly why OpenRouter has become so essential. First, it is the lowest friction way to try out all the competing models. Second, and this is huge, they offer billing caps. If you are running an agent in public, you need hard limits, so a bug or a malicious user does not rack up a $1 million bill overnight.
That billing cap feature alone is worth its weight in gold. But there is also a fascinating technical layer here regarding caching. A user named Godel Numbering pointed out that OpenRouter publishes hourly caching states for all model and provider combinations. When you are building AI agents that constantly push full conversation histories into the context window over and over, your cache hit rate is everything. It can literally cut your API costs in half.
Yeah, developers in the comments were sharing strategies about how they look at the OpenRouter dashboard to find which provider has the highest cache rate for a specific model at that exact moment, and then they route their requests there. It shows how AI is moving from this magical experimental phase into traditional, hardcore systems engineering, where latency, routing, and cost optimization are the real battlegrounds.
That brings us to our fourth story, which takes a step back to look at the human side of all this AI automation. It is a blog post by Aaron Breathorst titled "Domain Expertise Has Always Been the Real Moat." This got almost 400 points and sparked one of the best comment threads of the week.
Aaron's premise is brilliant. He argues that the hard part of writing software was never actually writing the syntax. The hard part was building a working model of the domain in your head. If you are building a payroll system, you have to deeply understand tax deductions, garnishments, and weird edge cases. The code was just a transcription of that understanding.
And his point is that AI agents have severed the link between understanding the domain and writing the code. You can now produce the software without ever building the mental model. So who actually benefits most from this? Aaron paints a picture of two people. First, a logistics dispatcher with zero coding skills but 10 years of experience routing trucks. Second, a senior generalist software engineer who knows how to build scalable systems, but knows nothing about logistics.
When you hand an AI coding agent to the dispatcher, they become startlingly effective. They cannot read a stack trace, but they can look at the output and instantly know if a truck route is legal or physically possible. They have the ground truth. But when you hand that same agent to the generalist engineer to build a logistics app, the agent will generate code that compiles perfectly, passes all the unit tests, and is subtly, expensively wrong in the real world. The engineer has no oracle to verify the truth of the output.
Exactly. Before AI, the engineer had a path. They could spend months shadowing the dispatcher and learning the domain, which was basically the whole career ladder in enterprise software. But the dispatcher could never just learn to code on a weekend. Now that advantage is flipped.
The ability to translate a domain model into working code is cheap. Knowing what right looks like is the scarce, expensive skill.
The comments on this were so insightful. Simon Willison jumped into this thread too, and he had a slightly different take that really resonated. He said that AI tools actually make software development harder. Yes, they help you get more done in less time, but they dramatically raise the bar for what is expected of you. You are now expected to tackle significantly more challenging projects and step way outside your pre-AI comfort zone on a daily basis.
I totally agree with that. Another commenter noted that developers are now expected to randomly jump around projects and ship without friction, making the workforce much more malleable, but also much more stressful. The days of hiding in a corner of a code base you mastered 5 years ago are over. If you want job security now, you have to be the person who deeply understands the business domain and can use AI to execute on it flawlessly.
It is a sobering thought, but a really important one for anyone planning their career right now. Okay, let us wrap up today's episode with something a little lighter, but very near and dear to the hearts of Hacker News readers. The fifth story is simply titled Pandoc Templates, linking to pandoctemplates.org.
I love that this made the front page. For anyone who has not fallen down this particular rabbit hole, Pandoc is the legendary open source document converter. It can take a markdown file and turn it into a beautifully formatted PDF, a Word document, an EPUB, an HTML slide deck, you name it. This website is just a curated directory of community-built templates for all those formats.
You have templates for academic papers, resumes, PhD theses, even Dungeons & Dragons campaign PDFs. The comments section was basically a love letter to plain text workflows. People were sharing their massive one-liner terminal commands they used to get through college. But a huge theme in the comments was the rise of Corto, which is an open-source scientific and technical publishing system built on top of Pandoc.
Yeah, Corto seems to have really taken the baton for modern documentation. There was also a lot of talk about Typeset, which is gaining traction as a modern, much faster alternative to LaTeX. Someone mentioned they helped a friend format a traditionally published book using Pandoc and Typeset, and with the help of AI, they had a professional template running in an hour.
It really highlights the eternal struggle of formatting documents. You have the WYSIWYG crowd fighting with Microsoft Word formatting constantly breaking, and then you have the programming crowd who would rather spend 3 days writing a build script to compile their one-page resume from Markdown. As one commenter joked, programming the document system just stimulates the primitive parts of our brains that love processing more than the actual writing itself.
It is so true. We will do anything to avoid actually writing the cover letter. Just let me tweak the CSS on this PDF output one more time.
Well, that is all we have time for today. Five incredible stories that really capture where the tech world is at right now, from the frustration of losing ownership of our software to the trillion-dollar AI wars and the evolving definition of what it even means to be a software engineer.
Thank you so much for tuning in to episode 412. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with a friend or colleague. We will be back tomorrow to break down the next batch of top stories from Hacker News. Until then, keep building, keep learning, and maybe double-check the expiration dates on your software licenses.
See you tomorrow, everyone.